Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Well, welcome to Saintville Road Presbyterian on this last Sunday in June. Here we are at the end of a strange academic year, entering July in an unprecedented fashion. I'd like this service to offer some space and reflection on the year and the months past as we move forward into this different summer. But the big truth for us all to hold onto through it all is that for all that has changed or will change, our God is on the throne, faithful and unchanging. Back in September, we began with Ephesians chapter 1, which we just heard read. And we thought about God's big plan of salvation in Christ Jesus, from before creation to the making right of all things, the new creation. We're going to sing. We're going to sing Days of Elijah, a reminder that God continues to be about what God has always been about through the story of Scripture and ultimately in Jesus Christ, who came and will come again. And a reminder that we're called to put our hope in him as we worship and witness in all of our living.
Just
Creator God, you have made all things out of nothing. Out of emptiness and darkness, fashioned every form of life, and birthed light for each new day. In this moment, the ways we've always done things seem inadequate and redundant. We know things have to be different, but our well-worn routines shackle our thinking. Sometimes our range of vision for alternatives is limited by our struggle to imagine other possibilities. Help us in this twilight zone, between what was and what is to come. Give us a sense of your presence with us in the storm, calling us to take courage, not to fear, inviting us to take those first faltering steps in answer to your call out of the familiar, to exercise fresh faith in you. Father, draw our eyes to Jesus and fix them there. Reach out your hand and catch us in those times when our faith shrinks and our doubts grow. Expand our thinking, enlarge our courage, enable wise choices, extend your grace, engage us, heart, mind, and soul. Equip us for what lies ahead. For you are making all things new, and we want to be renewed as your people, after the image of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better than for people to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Amen.
It was fabulous to be led in our worship last Sunday morning by our children, and then in the evening by our young people at Red. Chris recorded us all waving on Zoom. Have a look at this and see who you can spot. E20M, which we heard all about last Sunday morning, is available again today with Lynn. It's the last in the Ten Commandments series, but E20M is going to carry on throughout the summer, tying in with our services in Luke's Gospel. Today's passage of Scripture, though, that Elaine read to us, helps us to continue to reflect on the times and the seasons of life under God. I recall that it was June this month last year when I first preached in Saintfield Road and was called to be minister, coming at the start of September. Who knew then that less than a year later, I would be getting no one turning up to hear me on a Sunday morning? Funny to look back on a year and think of all that has happened and all that God has brought each of us through. The joys and the mourning. The endings and the beginnings. One of the first things that began after I did at Saintville Road was the internship scheme. Johnny asked the 5 interns to reflect on their year and what God has taught them.
Hello everyone, I hope you're all keeping well. I can't really believe that the intern year is nearly over. It's been such a good year and I'm so glad that I've been a part of it. And I think something that I've particularly enjoyed has been just building relationships with children and young people, whether that's in church or Red or Vibe or whatever. And just spending more time getting to know more people than I would have done before and getting to know them better, which I think is something that's really important before you kind of go in and talk about God and faith with them, that you've actually gotten to know them first. And that's kind of really come into its own in our Red small group. I think we've really got to know each other well, and from that we've been able to have really open and honest conversations about our faith, and that's really gone in nicely into lockdown and into our Zoom meetings. We've been able to just continue on our Youth Alpha course that we were doing before, and it's been a really good time, and I've learned a lot anyway, and I think we've all learned from it. I think another thing that I really like doing has been just welcoming people into Vibe that maybe don't go to our church, because I think it's really important that they feel welcome in our church building, and we don't know what could happen in the future with that if they feel comfortable now coming into our church. And I think something that I've really learned this year has been kind of what gifts I have, and I think I've learned that both through what I've been doing week on week, and then through what we've been doing with Dinger at meetings and as a group. And I've kind of just learned what I'm better at and what I like doing, and then also kind of what I don't like doing as well, which has been really useful. And I think another thing that I've learned is just the importance of prayer and relying on God, just also in general life, but then also just throughout the internship. And also the importance of praying for young people, and the impact that that can actually have, because we know that God's listening and he can do anything he wants to do if we pray expectantly for that. So yeah, that's kind of what I've learned this year, and I'm so thankful that I've been able to be a part of it this year, and so thankful for everyone who's kind of been involved in it. So yeah.
Some of the ways in which God has been working through me this year has been helping me to grow in my confidence. I think that this year I really recognized that the confidence that I have in Christ, I can use in myself, because I know that God is with me through everything that I do and through every task that I completed. I think something that God taught me this year as well has just been the true joy that I gained out of disciple making. I know that disciple making can be very tough, and that is what I expected, but I didn't anticipate the extreme joy that I would get out of doing it, and I think that's something that God has taught me this year and has encouraged me to just keep going and keep doing his work.
Over the last year, while being an intern at SRPC, I've seen God work in many different ways. One of the ways that I've seen God at work has been through Senior Vibe. One night I led Centre Spot by sharing my story with the young people, and I could just see God at work during that evening, as whenever I looked up I had all the young people's attention. Their eyes were fixed on me, and I knew that they were taking in what was being said. After I'd finished my centre spot, there were a couple of teenage boys who came and asked me a couple of questions, and this was really encouraging, as it showed me that actually they had taken some interest into what I had been saying, which gave me a bit of hope that they would start to learn who God is, and what a God that he also is. Another moment that I saw God at work is that unfortunately I wasn't able to go on the Red weekend because I was working. But one of the young people texted me to say that they were ready to make their commitment to God and that they wanted to be his friend and grow in their faith and get to know him better. And this was just such an encouragement just to see that they were ready to take this step and that they could still make me be a part of this even though I wasn't there. And it's just been great to see this young person just flourish in their faith over the last couple of months as well. I think one of the lessons that God's been teaching me in the last couple of months during the internship is that God has given us so many gifts and talents and we have gifts and talents that we never thought we would have. And I think during the internship I've been able to see what those talents and gifts are while I've worked with the young people, while I've done different talks as well. And I've just been able to see that God's blessed me with many different things and many different ways of working with the children and young people of SRPC. And lastly, another lesson that he's been teaching me is that basically he's a silent director. And that's kind of what I learnt during the last couple of weeks at Red as we were looking through the book of Ruth, like the rest of the congregation. During that, I've seen that God's a silent director. It mightn't seem like he's always there. It mightn't seem as if he's answering our prayers right away. But even when God is silent, he's still working in the background and we just have to trust him.
Hi guys, so I was part of the internship program this year at the church and I've just been asked to answer a couple of questions. So a moment that I've really noticed God working through me this year would be just with the relationships that I've made with some of the young people in the church. I just feel like, especially a group of guys who I've been working with, I just feel like God has given me so much confidence to even just to approach them and to just like have banter with them and be like the stick. If I look back from the start of the year to where we are now, it's just like group of mates, it's unreal. So that's definitely where I've seen God work through me this year. And a lesson that God's been teaching me is definitely just reading my Bible is such an important part of Christianity. It's something that before this year I wouldn't have done very regularly, and now I just can't get enough of it. I absolutely love reading my Bible and stuff. Something else that I've been taught by God this year is that even though we're in the strangest times, it still just hadn't stopped us at all from it's just given me more of a hunger to just like share the word with Red and quizzes with the Vibe and Vibes Live and stuff. Like it's been so epic. Like not even a global pandemic can stop us from sharing God's word, which is just awesome. So miss you all and hopefully see you guys soon.
I've seen God at work so much this year in Seamfield Road and it's been so amazing to be a part of that. And one of the biggest things that I've seen God work through this year is whenever we moved the Vibe back to Seamfield Road and being able to have so many new people in our church and just seeing people invite their friends week after week and more people come in. And something that I've really enjoyed seeing God work through is the young leaders that we have now, and some of them came to Romania last year, and it's been amazing to see how they've developed in their faith and how God is working through them and using their gifts to share God with new people. So that's been really good. And I've also really enjoyed small groups and the relationships I've been able to build this year. And just whenever we were all together at the start of the year for Vibe and going away for the Red weekend, and just times like that we were able to build a relationship that then meant whenever we went into lockdown we could still read the Bible together and do Youth Alpha together. And I've seen God work through so many people over lockdown and seeing people grow in their faith, which kind of seems impossible, but it's been amazing to see God work that way. And this year God has also been teaching me that his timing is perfect. And I think in our culture we're told that we need to like seek more and do more and we always want more, but this year God's really been teaching me that I just need to be satisfied with where I am and I don't need to seek more. And at the right time and whenever everything's ready, God will give me more if that's what he has for me, but I don't need to seek that. And just to kind of be content with the season that I'm in and live that, and to just seek God above everything else.
How great to hear from those five. I wonder, what has God brought you through in this past year? What has he been teaching you in it? How great to hear from those five, Anna, Melissa, Chloe, Daniel, and Sarah. But I wonder, what has God brought you through this past year? And what has he been teaching you through it? Here in our hallway by our front door hangs this magnificent cross stitch that Ruth's mum made for our wedding. Not only does it handily remind me of our wedding anniversary, but it also captures those profound opening words of that well-known poetic passage from Ecclesiastes that Elaine read. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. The wise philosopher who wrote Ecclesiastes reflected on the rich experience of life under heaven, but concluded that in its mystery, and where humans can't truly grasp or fathom life's meaning, sometimes it seems almost meaningless, yet purpose and meaning and hope are only found when we look up from under heaven to the God who is in heaven. Ultimately, as the Bible story goes on, to the King of heaven and the one who is wisdom incarnate, Jesus Christ. But as we look to Jesus, what do we make of the seasons of life that this passage speaks of? At the end of the intern's reflection there, Sarah talked about the season of her life, the period of time that she was experiencing. And in the rich diversity of life's seasons that this passage in Ecclesiastes spells out. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Well, how might we reflect, looking back and forward, on this particular season for each one of us? You may have many reflections on these times and from this passage, but here are four areas of reflection that I'd like to share with you. A time to be born and a time to die. Across the globe, these are certainly interesting times to be born and to be alive. Unprecedented for us, I guess, although plague and virus and disease have always and repeatedly affected great swathes of the world at various times. Certainly, however, as we soberly marked way back at Easter, this pandemic has brought us closer to the reality of death, something which in the West we try to avoid thinking about and talking about. We said then, as we still say now, that the NHS saves lives. And indeed, in many ways, we have celebrated a time to heal for many and in many ways. And all the amazing work of health and key workers and modern medicine, we remain so thankful to them and to God above all. But we also said that it only really delays death. This season is a reminder to our Western society of the reality of death that we cannot avoid, and the stark number, nearly 500,000 around the world, as well as the realization that behind everyone is a real human person, well, that has been profound. As too, though, has the increased engagement with church services and prayer and the Googling of Jesus, all of which shows how much this is a season to proclaim more than ever that Jesus and only Jesus saves. A time to speak. For though it may be marked by death, God continues to bring about birth and new birth. A time of new birth by God's grace. In Christ, in life, even in death, there is hope. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. I've said already that as believers in Christ, this is a time to speak of the hope we have in the face of death. And recent weeks and months have also highlighted other things in our society too. We are those who believe that all humans are made in the image of God. As the passage states, he has set eternity in human hearts. There's a unique sanctity to all human life. Racism has once again come to the fore. And because all lives matter, black lives matter. Something to be affirmed and spoken in this season where brothers and sisters feel dehumanized. We heard in a recent Wednesday prayer video from Brent and words from Gerald Mwangi too. So perhaps this is also a season to be silent and listen to the experience and the wisdom of others that challenges and teaches us. You might also like to check out this helpful video that someone pointed out to me from All Souls Church in London. It's particularly, but not exclusively, for young people, but it's biblical teaching on how a follower of Jesus is to be anti-racist, to learn to see injustice and speak out. One particular place to affirm that black lives matter, and indeed that all lives matter, is in the womb. For months now, it has been a time to speak as people who believe in the sanctity of life, in the face of new legislation regarding abortion, to speak and say that both lives matter, mother and child. There seems a bitter irony, doesn't there, in these recent months, that while under government guidance we have worked so hard to save lives from the threat of COVID-19, the government have yet passed legislation liberalising abortion in Northern Ireland. You might like to watch this powerful video by a brilliant Christian communicator, Glenn Scrivener, on this tragedy. This has been and continues to be a season, a time to speak. And not just for those yet to be born, but for those in poverty in this life. Nearly 500,000 people around the world have died of COVID-19, as we said. Each one tragic. And yet, last year, 11 million people died of starvation, apparently. Each one tragic, especially as Europe, it seems, threw away more food than would have kept them alive. This need not be a time to die for many, but it is a time to speak and act for us. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. When I first read this passage in preparation for today, it was this line that struck me most. A line in any other season you might just sort of pass over without seeing any immediate relevance to. But a line we feel so powerfully in these times. A time to refrain from embracing. We felt it among family and friends, and we felt it in church too. From the Sunday we started not shaking hands to now, when we long to be together. Kicking a football with others in the hall. Making craft at messy church. Serving coffee and cake in the kitchen with all the chat. Enjoying coffee and cake at Tuesday break or Friday cafe. And as I sat there, I thought of all the people who squeeze round that table on Fridays. Jean and her sister Doreen, Doris, Joan, Eileen, Kathleen, Dorothy, Maureen, Margaret Armstrong. Simply sitting next to someone in church and singing together. I feel it. We all feel it. When will this time of scattering to our homes become a time of gathering here again? The government have made very recent announcements about the opening of churches. Now the headlines are one thing, but the reality of how that can actually happen is another. Being socially distant, still 2 metres apart, and that is what the optimum that's being recommended, it drastically reduces capacity in here. Perhaps you can see behind me, I've taken chairs out such that these 6 remain 2 metres apart, but that over 4 rows has meant the removing of 26 chairs stacked at the back. As a session, we've already been dedicating time and thought to this, even before government announcements, and with guidance from the PCI too. We've talked about our desire to be together, but also the need to be wise and careful, to work and think through this properly, for all our sakes. We've said we want to go together, with a concern for the whole church family, and just because some people may be able to meet, we want to be careful we don't leave other groups of people behind, even more isolated than they might have felt before. We want to go slow and go long and go deep, not rushing to what we could do, but thinking what we should do, not just about the short term, but bearing in mind how we best continue to grow and deepen our faith and fellowship in Christ through this all, and how we look out for one another. And we've said we need to go in step with God, which means prayerfully. And it may mean not necessarily doing what others around us are doing, but what is right for St. Phil Road under God. So we've been praying and we've got tables and checklists, and already we've had discussions and session. We'll meet again in July and in August to keep a view on all these things. There's a committee set up already looking at preparing the buildings practically with organisations and worship together in mind. Later in the summer, we'll develop increasing ways of engaging meaningfully in small groups online after a couple of morning services, and in a more interactive online evening service or two, and in prayer on Wednesday evenings. And we'll keep the whole thing under review. But we're not going to rush. And in the meantime, we'll remain worshipping online, on DVD, on the phone line. But I want to say at this point how thankful I am and we are to those who week by week make this happen. Singers and musicians, and a special shout out to Gary Miles, who records tracks and mixes everything together week after week. To the technical people who make videos, who copy DVDs, who put things up on podcasts and online and on the website. July, I hope, is going to signal a bit of a rest for the staff and many of those who have relentlessly volunteered their time weekly. But more widely, I'm grateful to all the people who read and pray and teach our children in E20M and lead the Wednesday prayer video and contribute in so many other ways. I'm thankful to you all for your constant engagement and encouragement, for all the ongoing giving in this difficult season, for those who in recent weeks have sent in envelopes and checks and made transfers, for each one of us as we've looked out for each other in the love of Christ. It's all part of the every member ministry family of God that is St. Phil Road. But let me say finally that this season is more than likely a season or a time of change under God. Look at so many of these phrases: a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear down and a time to mend. The phrase of the season is the new normal, isn't it? I don't know what normal was or what normal is or what normal will be. But for us as a church and for us as individuals, there will be change from how things once were. Some of it inevitable, some of it intentional. And it perhaps leads back to that question we had after we heard from the interns. What has God been teaching you? And what's God been teaching me through these times? How has he been shaping us in this season? For some, in the words of Ecclesiastes, this has been hard toil and a burden. A difficult season for all sorts of reasons. But I do want to say to you that seasons of life are there to shape us for the journey. I've sometimes reflected on this passage and the language of seasons, that it can seem to suggest a cyclical nature to life, that history repeats itself. You get the same old, that life just goes on meaninglessly, tirelessly, repetitively round. And for some, life does seem to be a bit like a man on an exercise bike. A lot of toil and sweat and repetition, but going nowhere. Although maybe this time has broken some of that monotony for you and caused you to see life differently. And the truth is, life is not an exercise bike. Life is a real bike, a real journey from beginning to end. God has set eternity in our hearts and calls us to be part of his big purposes in Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He calls us to realize our eternal future with him. So there may be difficult seasons and repeated experiences. Let's hope this isn't one. But they move us on in the journey and shape us for our future in Christ. We may not see or fathom out everything in the big picture from where we are sitting, but God in his sovereignty has made and will make everything beautiful in its time. And in and through all these seasons, God is calling us and shaping us in his life. Life designed for us to know and worship and enjoy him forever. There is nothing better. So what has this period of lockdown, this year, bigger than lockdown, been teaching us for our life, for our journey, for our future? We must ask and reflect on that as a church and as individuals. And by the Spirit of Christ in us, may we continue to root ourselves in God and be changed for good by his grace in this season and every season, to the glory of God. Salvation.
Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, with our offerings. Thankful, Lord, that some of what we have we can give back to you for the work of your kingdom here on earth. Lord, help us hear your voice in a world where there's so many other distractions. Keep leading us to what is right and honourable and make us a holy people. We come with lots of different things in our hearts, Lord, and you know what we need before we ask, but as we pray, we give you your rightful place in our lives. Help us hear your voice, Lord, as we keep turning to you with our requests and our thanks in prayer, so you can change our lives for the better. We often focus on what we don't have, and this makes us discontented. Lord, forgive us. Help us hear your voice in the whisper in the wind, in the song we listen to, or the friend we turn to for advice. Help us hear your voice, Lord, and remind us that we have so much to be thankful for. We pray that your Holy Spirit would challenge us when we feel envious or proud. Help us when we feel anxious, especially at this time when your world has been battling with coronavirus. It's difficult to see how schools, businesses, and normal everyday life will look in the coming months. But fill us, Lord, so that your peace will guard our hearts and our minds. We pray this morning for those who would have been doing exams. Help them hear your voice, Lord, in these uncertain times. The path may seem unclear, but remind these students that you have gone before them and walk beside them now. Teach us all, Lord, to lean on you. Lord, we bring before you all the missions planned for summer that can't now go ahead. We are mindful of the teaching missed and the many lives that would have been touched with summer outreach right across the world. Help us hear your voice, Lord, as we bring before you those children, young people, and leaders. Lord, we give you thanks for the work of the interns this past year. We thank you for the connections they've made with the children and young people and pray that these relationships would continue to grow. We thank you for their faith, for their energy and willingness to be disciple makers. We would pray that you would continue to work in and through the lives of Daniel, Chloe, Melissa, Anna, and Sarah. Let them hear your voice as you lead them. God, restore your image in us so we may shine in every aspect of our lives. Lord, let us hear your voice in our weeping and our laughing, in our mourning and our dancing, because we know you are with us in every season of our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn.